Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. Well, I've been wrapped up in this message about the importance of godly discernment. We've been looking at an episode in the life of Jehoshaphat, verses 17, 18, 19, and 20. And I would like to just read a few verses of chapter 18 and let's see what the drama that was developing in verse 1 of chapter 18. The word says, "Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war." And then, of course, there's a consulting of the prophets. Verse 28 in that same chapter says, "So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and will go to the battle, but put thou on thy robes." Of course, he's talking about the kingly robes. "So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, Fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel." He was the target. Of course, that's why Ahab was disguising himself. "And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, It is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight." Listen to this. He nearly got himself killed. "But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him." And then, well, if you haven't read in a while, I'll have to read it so you know what's going went on. "For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture, and it was just a happen chance. He smote the king of Israel, who was disguised, between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot man, Turn thine hand, that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I'm wounded. And the battle increased that day, howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrian until the even, and about the time of the sun going down, he died." Well, that was the end of Ahab, but Jehoshaphat was nearly killed. He was a good man, but beloved, he did not have godly wisdom or godly discernment. When he began his reign, Jehoshaphat, he strengthened himself against Israel. He placed forces in all the fortified cities of Judah. He did not seek the Baals, but he sought the God of his father David and walked in his commandments. He didn't walk according to the ways of Israel. Remember, Ahab was king of Israel. Because Jehoshaphat walked uprightly before the Lord, the word tells us that the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat. His heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. Beloved, this is the walk that God calls us to be courageous in the ways of the Lord. But what does that mean? That means many times we have to say no. And that's especially true and difficult in our relationships. We have to be courageous in our relationships. And if we are, God will honor us. Wives have a responsibility to their husband, but the husband has responsibility to the wife, and parents have a responsibility to the children. But beloved children also have a responsibility. A weak-willed, permissive Christian will only walk in a defeated lifestyle. They'll live defeated. They'll be a poor testimony to everyone. When Jehoshaphat took his place as king of Judah, the book of the law was taught throughout all the cities of Judah and among the people. That's chapter 17. There's a principle set in place for the Christian. Those who will observe what God has established will find him fighting for you. When we make an alliance with the enemy, whether it is the unsaved of your family, your neighbors, those on your job, there's going to be unending war. And beloved, hear what I'm saying. This is different from the spiritual attacks of the enemy against you because you're a Christian. This warfare results in inner turmoil that tears you down from the inside out. We are, as I said, Jehovah nearly got himself killed. It was only because he was righteous in other ways. He was certainly lacking in godly wisdom and discernment. And unfortunately, there are many today who, quote unquote, in the name of love, are doing things that demoralize them. They are a poor witness to the integrity and strength and courage that we should have as God's people. Courage, why? Because it's not the power, the love in our relationships that's first and uppermost. What is uppermost is our desire to please God, our desire to walk according to the principles of God's word, our desire to be faithful renditions, ambassadors, portrayals of God's love. And God's love is everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. But beloved, he is also a God of judgment. That's why Jesus had to die for us. He wasn't just going to say, oh, well, they just sinned and I'll just bring them back. No, punishment, justice had to be met. And it cost the shedding of the blood of that perfect Son of God, Jesus, on the cross so you and I could experience the joy and restitution of what it means to be called a child of God. Beloved, I hope you may the Holy Spirit enlighten your heart and mind to understand. We are to help those when there's a need, when there's something that has happened that is a real setback. That's different. But we don't enable people, beloved. Even the secular world is beginning to understand that codependence, that kind of thing. Beloved, when you became a Christian, you renounced the old ways of sin. You tore down, as Jehoshaphat, when he became king, tore down the idols of your past life, and you were established by the Lord. And as you were courageous in the ways of the Lord, you grew and prospered in the things of God. When you read and believed and accepted the word of God, the fear of the Lord was upon all the forces of darkness. But what happens? Those who've made a wrong alliance, even though they did so unwittingly and in ignorance and in foolishness in the name of the Lord, just like Jehoshaphat did with Ahab, thinking that they were being loving, they were being Christian, what happens? It opens them to defeat. As we read in the Word of God, he nearly got killed, Jehoshaphat, if it wasn't for God's mercy. Satan does not attack gently. He will use any and every means of deception necessary to destroy you, if you let him. He will use any and every means with which to destroy you, if you let him, beloved. Because of Jehoshaphat's stand for God, the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah. They made no war against Jehoshaphat. Some of the Philistines actually brought presents to Jehoshaphat, silver for tribute, and Jehoshaphat grew steadily greater. God's blessings was upon him. In chapter 18, we find that Ahab possessed great riches and honor. And you know what? Sometimes, as we look at Jehoshaphat, when we're blessed and we have no battles to speak of, if you will, like he was being prospered by the Lord, blessed, we can get spiritually lazy and we're more prone to make wrong alliances. That's why we have to be led by the Spirit of God. We see that Jehoshaphat actually made a marriage alliance with Ahab. We find that this was dangerous foolishness and folly for Jehoshaphat. We see that a marriage alliance with Ahab was unnecessary because God had already given him great riches and honor. And how like many today, they do things that are totally unnecessary, but it pleases the old nature. It sounds good. It's sentimental. They pursue that relationship or alliance, if you will, with sick determination. And beloved, it is not a good thing to depart from God's principles. I know people who have stated they knew it was wrong for them to do certain things, but they couldn't help themselves. Beloved, yes, they could. And yes, you can, if you allow God to be the strength of your life. Listen to what Ahab asked. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, the royal entourage, if you will, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead?" And what did Jehoshaphat say? Listen to what he said in reply. "I am as thou art. I'm just as you. My people are your people. We will be with thee in war. We will be with you. We are, you are, my people as your people." What a statement for a godly king to say to the ungodly king. Ahab was one of the wicked, worst kings Israel ever had. He was wicked, perhaps the most wicked that was ever recorded. He rejected serving God. He worshiped Baal. Can you see any parallel, beloved? How many have rejected God or they're backslidden and we've actually enabled them? And this includes husbands or wives. How many times have you felt that little warning signal go off in your heart that you take a stand for God, but you allowed your mind to overrule what you felt in your spirit? Beloved, this is such an important subject. I've got more to share, and we'll just have to continue next week. I do thank you for joining me, and I pray the Holy Spirit make these truths so alive, because it's going to make you strong and courageous in the Lord. God bless you. I love you. I want to thank you so much for joining me. In a few moments, the announcer will give our contact information. Partners, I love you. Thank you for your prayer support. I need it so much. And also for your financial help. God bless you. I love you. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.